Good to see everyone this evening. Appreciate you coming out on a Friday night. Some having worked all week and then still be able to make it on Friday when you could just throw up your hands and say hallelujah and then go out and relax and everything. But appreciate you being here. Hope that you hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, because that's what we're going to be feasting on this evening, that we might listen to the scriptures and see what God has to say for us, that we might learn these things and be acceptable to Him, and that we might be able to walk with Him. Throughout man's existence on this planet, he's had an opportunity to walk with God. We look at Adam and Eve in the garden, and every day they conversed with Him, they talked with Him, they walked with Him. And yet, failure to really trust Him and have confidence in Him when Satan showed up and lied about God to Eve, and rather than her counseling with God and questioning the fact that somebody was saying something different than what He had revealed to them, and she just went ahead and followed the lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. And we all know the outcome of that, but God loves us all. And that's why He, before the foundations of the world, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, that is, teaching man that we may be able to walk with Him, that we can continue to walk with Him, that we could come back into a relationship with Him if we have strayed. And He began with Adam and Eve, and He taught people for thousands of years. And we get to look at that. We get to look at the history of man, God, and to understand where we are in the world and who we are. And we come to a time in our culture and in our time where we need to look to God. And man has always needed to do that. And as time goes, though, we find that it's harder and harder for man to really think about God. And it's always been hard ever since Eve decided to just do what her body told her to do. And then the fact that Adam just disobeyed. He didn't even question anything. He just said, well, that sounds good to me, or whatever he did. I'm just hypothesizing on that. But the fact is, he disobeyed God. And we have an opportunity through Jesus Christ to come back and walk with God. And this series of lessons is about that. Last night we talked about the unity, walking in unity, and how that God has given His plan to us, inspiring men, sending the Holy Spirit here to lead, guide, and teach the apostles, that they would reveal to us the way, that we may be able to be able to measure up to the stature of Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who was given a name above every name in heaven and earth, and because he wanted to walk with God. As he looked to the Father in heaven, said, "Thy will be done, not mine." And that's what it's all about. Hopefully that's the desire that we have in our lives, whether you're a member of the Lord's church or whether you're looking, desiring the truth. This is what we strive to talk about, the righteousness of God revealed to us by these men, inspired of the Holy Spirit, to learn of Christ, and that we may be able to walk with God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "To try every spirit, for there are many false prophets out in the world." So I always announce that to people. People that's probably even tired of hearing that is the fact that every time that we open our mouth or do anything in the name of God, or saying that we're talking about our soul salvation or what God wants us to do, it better come from God and not my personal judgments, not my righteousness, because I don't have any other than what God allows me to imitate. And that I might practice in my life. And so we need to listen to God. We need to follow His Word. And so He wants us to put it to the test. He wants us to try. You hear somebody say something? Do like the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if it's so. And that's, I urge you to do that. Just don't take my word for it. I've been preaching for 45 years. 45 years ago, I preached my first gospel sermon. Wasn't even wet, dry behind the ears. I'd obeyed the gospel, and I'd been a Christian for about 4 or 5 years. And 4 years, actually. And the fact is that when I preached my first sermon, it was about a godly home, raising children in a godly home. I was married, but I didn't have any children. And, of course, you know what everybody in the audience thought. What's that young upstart trying to do, telling me how to raise children? But I reminded them that it wasn't my experiences that I was talking about. It wasn't what I knew about training children and having a home that was godly. It was God's ideas. It was God's pattern. It was God's Word. And that we need to listen to God. It doesn't matter. Is the fact whether you think that I have enough credibility to deliver that truth. Jesus even told the people, He says, yeah, the Pharisees, you know, they think they have eternal life, but they weren't doing the righteousness of God. But He says, I want you to do something. He says, you need to listen to the words. When they read the Scriptures in the synagogue, it was God's Word. But don't do after their works. Now, I'm not saying that so I can go out here and do some works that are not right. I'm just saying that is don't put your trust in men. Don't put your confidence in men. Put it in God. And Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And so we need to understand something about having a relationship with God, that we walk with Him, and that we are one with Jesus Christ because He is one with the Father. And don't leave the Holy Spirit out of the business, because we are supposed to be Spirit-filled. And the fact that the church itself is a Spirit-filled church, because the relationship that we have with the Godhead, with the divine nature, is a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's the same relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not a different relationship with a different one. It's the same relationship based on the Word that God has revealed to us. That's how you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how you have a relationship with the Father. That's how you have a relationship with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And to understand that, and that we might dwell with God. I read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 last night, or beginning in verse 3, of how important it is that we think about walking with God, and that we understand through last night, in looking at the Scriptures, the only way we walk with God is to be in Christ. And to understand those things, but as we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, so you can count on it. You have a question, God will tell you the answer, but it's in His Word. And you don't have to read between the lines, because there's nothing between the lines except space. And what you need to understand is it's not up to you to fill up that space. It's up to you to stay on God's line. Now, walk with God, listen to Him. And He says that as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And as I mentioned last night, whenever you read a lot of scriptures, You know, we went through it from top to bottom. Now go from the bottom to the top. You want to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust? You can't do it unless you're walking with God. You can't do it unless you're in Christ Jesus. You can't do it unless you have a relationship with the divine nature. And here's what God does for you. In order to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, He says we need to be a new man. We need to crucify the old man and its passions that we may be what God wants us to be. And He says here that if we do that, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, God provides the way of escape. Remember that. 1 Corinthians 10 says that. You can be a partaker of the divine nature. Why? Because God always fills you up. The divine nature. What in the world is that? Well, it's God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Divine nature, Godhead. Jesus Christ was the express image of Godhead bodily. Last night I read scripture that says we need to measure up to that stature. And the only way we can do that is to walk with God. Tonight, Ephesians 4:17 through 32, we look at some scripture concerning this, and it starts off about talking about walking as a new man. In being a Christian, and I pointed this out, there's a transformation. There's a transformation that takes place. The Bible calls it, what, born again? You know, people say, what kind of Christian are you? They say a born-again one. There isn't but one kind, and that is a born-again. And it's just like when people say, do you have faith? Yes. Well, what kind? Last night we talked about the one faith. And faith comes by hearing God's Word. It's important to always pay attention to God and follow His pattern and understand what it means to be a new creature, what it means to be made new, and understand that God is the only one that can make us better than we are. God gives the increase. Okay? What you have to do is desire that you might be filled with God, that you may look to Him and want to be one with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. One with the divine nature. Filled up with the divine nature. The Bible talks about, you know, filling your heart up. Have the Word of God written on your heart. That is, you eat it. You digest it, as Hebrews 5 talks about, verses 13 and 14. And that you live and breathe Jesus Christ. And if you're one with Him, you're one with the Father, because He and the Father are one. And Jesus said that we're sanctified by the truth. The truth will set you free. And through their words, the apostles' words, we would believe. So listen to them. Want to walk with God? Want to be able to do that? We have to be a new man. We have to be born again. We have to be a new creature. Because see, this creature that's created here, this human being, it's a sensual being. That is, it wants to fulfill its desires, what it tastes, what it looks at, what it feels, touches. That's how we operate. The carnal mind does not understand God and will not understand and do what God wants the creature to do. Romans 8 says that specifically, and we need to believe that. If you believe that, then you'll look to understand why God reveals to us this gospel, and to understand that we might be made new. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You think about the scriptures that you see and read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation. That's why God talks about being born again. That's why He talks about you're a new creature. That's why He talks about that you're made new. And all through the Bible, those terms, references are made so that we don't conform to the world. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 17, we are reminded of how important it is to realize that if we want to walk with God, we have to be new creatures. And verse 17 here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But, you know, we've got to stay focused. We've got to continually look. We're reminded in the Bible of that. Paul teaches us that. Look to that goal. Press on to that goal. Always keep it in front of you. And then we're given examples in the Bible where people took their eye off the goal. And the famous one everybody probably knows is when Peter stepped out of that boat to go to the Lord Jesus there out in the middle of the sea there. And the waves were large. And he was going and he started to sink. Save me, Lord. That's all he could think of. And at least he did that. He realized he was sinking. Trouble with a lot of people, they don't realize they're sinking until it's too late. And they drown in the muck and mire of sin. We have to stay focused. We've got to keep our eye on Jesus Christ. And the flesh will always try to be misdirecting you. Satan will try to misdirect you, try to get you off course, off the compass. It's just like flying an airplane. I can talk about that. I've flown. You got to stay. If you fly by instruments, which you need to do, because this body will lie to you. If it can't see horizon, you know, it'll lie to you. You'll think you're flying just right and everything, but you'll be upside down. Maybe going 150 miles, 200 miles to the earth. You got to keep your eyes on those instruments and believe what they're telling you and stay focused on that and don't blink too long because it's just a second that you can lose it all. And it's important to stay on course, to make the corrections that are necessary. Stay on course. And you have to do that as a child of God. If you're going to walk with God, you keep your eye on Him. You keep a hold of His hand. He will hold on to you. But you need to walk in His steps. You need to stay in that light. Don't get misdirected. Because that's what Satan wants to do. The world is under the sway of the evil one. And he will misdirect you. We are new creatures in Christ. And we need to think about those things that are revealed to us. Verse 17 through 19. This I say therefore, in Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now here's where the pride of life will work on you a little bit, you know, because you know, we're pretty civilized. We've got to have some wisdom, you know. We're in pretty good shape on this earth, and you know, we're educated, have a lot of things going for us, and everything like that. But it's a danger if we trust in that and have confidence in that. Yeah, we just won't, you know. If we're trying to judge God on our standards, we're going to have problems because see, God is not going to make sense. If you're using carnal sense, God is not logical if you use carnal logic. God is not filled with wisdom if you use carnal wisdom. And so many times people will say, it just doesn't make sense that I need to follow this rule. I've had people tell me that, question that. It doesn't make sense. I don't see why I need to do that. And they're missing the whole point. The rule didn't come from the person that gave the rule or spoke the rule or whatever it is. Where did that rule come from? From God. And we need to love God, believe God, trust God, understand He's got a right
After all, the Bible does say that He is the one lawgiver, and that we don't have enough wisdom, logic, rationale to figure it out, whether even that's good or bad, because God says that there's none good but the Father in heaven. Jesus said that. They came to Him and said, "Good Master." And Jesus said to them, He says, "Don't call Me good. There's none good but the Father in heaven." See, even the Son of God, the express image of the Godhead bodily, did not want His disciples to even look at Him in the flesh and trust that flesh. "Good Master." He said, "There's none good but the Father in heaven." And Jesus walked with the Father. That's what they need to pay attention to. That's why they needed to understand He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. Not the man. You see, the man. But one who said, "Thy will be done, Father," who is given a name above every name, and King of kings and Lord of lords. People think Jesus pretended because He's the Son of God. And it's important to understand, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. The Word, Jesus Christ, learned obedience. What did God have to learn? And we need to understand something about the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ and what God did, what the Father did, what Jesus did, and to understand what we're looking at. And why was He acceptable to the Father, this man from Nazareth, this man, the carpenter's son? He said, "Nevertheless, Father, not My will, but Yours be done." He learned obedience. So He humbled Himself, became lower than the angels, in that He suffered death. And of course, that's a whole ball of information there about the ransom that was paid, the blood that was shed, so that we could walk with God, so that we could be these new creatures. Don't walk in the futility of your minds, what He's saying. Verse 18, Ephesians 4, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. What is it? Hosea 6. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. All things are revealed to us by God in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Want to know Christ? Read the Bible. Think on the Bible. Don't be alienated from the life of God. Walk with God. That's all it's about. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we walk together. We walk with God. We're new creatures that are looking to God. Not in the futility of our mind as Gentiles, as people in the flesh. Not having our understanding darkened. Don't be alienated from God because of the ignorance. You know, and the thing about being a human is we're all ignorant, just on different subjects. Okay? We have to understand that. We're all ignorant, just on different subjects. We're all in the same boat. And what's important is to think about how God is looking at us, whether we're acceptable to God or not. Because you'll always find some people that are going to accept you. You're always going to find people that think that you are smarter than you are. You're always going to find people that think you're dumber than you are, or that you might even look. But the thing is, it's how God looks at you. Walk with God. You know, you walk with God. You're in a crowd of people. It's always good to walk with somebody that you know is going to be compatible. You know,
And of course, we're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of it. So again, we have to be careful who our friends are and what paths we're walking down and what kind of light we're using. Don't be in ignorance because of the blindness of their heart. He said in verse 18, verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And I always look at that scripture and I think about this fact that a lot of times we practice our religion, we'll get past feeling because, we don't, it's got to be rigid, you know, down the line. We've got to be serious. We've got to, always keep our eye on the goal, and you can't really feel anything. And the reason I talk about this is because God gave us feelings, right? Emotion, where did it come from? Well, God. And some people let their emotions rule them, just like they let their logic rule them or their wisdom rule them, whatever it may be. And it's a big danger, see. And I've seen people be criticized because they shed a tear when they heard about a description of Christ hanging on the cross and dying. And I was sitting around with some preachers out in California one time, and this one preacher was talking about how this other preacher shouldn't have manipulated the audience with such graphic information where... he manipulated them because he saw some of them crying and, with tears come down their cheeks. And I'm thinking, what? Are you past feeling? We can't feel anything? See, it's all right to, it's all right to do things as long as it's all right with God. And there's nothing wrong with feeling. Feel your religion. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, you can make it wrong, just like anything, right? The whole world was perfect. Creatures all good, pleasing to God. For His good pleasure, it was just right. God rested, and there it is. But it got messed up. Not because God left His duty, not because God didn't see it coming, not because God's fault. It's because man didn't want to walk with God. And the funny thing about it is, he started out walking with Him and talking with Him, but then he just gave it up. Started listening to something else, to their own bodies, to whatever it is. And when you start listening to your own flesh, the futility of your own mind, you're going to have problems. And that's why Paul says, it doesn't bother me about what men are going to judge me on because I have the mind of Christ. And that's the thing. That's the key. We need to be in fellowship with God. Don't be past feeling it. Verse 20 says, but you have not so learned Christ. And we'll get to that in a minute. But don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk with a hardened heart. Romans 1:21 reminds us of that. It's what people do sometimes. And he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Words are funny, aren't they? What you remember about them, how futile it was for Picard to fight against the Borgs, right? In Star Trek, But God says it's futile. If you're going to think on something else, if you're going to listen to something else, if you're going to think that your wisdom and rationale is going to do the job, it won't. You need to walk with God. You need to talk with God. You need to get information from God. You need to let Him teach you. You need to, love God. You need to obey God. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll obey God. And it's not always easy. And God knows that. But the point is, it can be easier if we love God more than anything else. even if we love Him more than our life. I like Revelation chapter 12. There's a scripture in here that really gives you the formula about how to do all this, how to overcome. Verse 11 in Revelation 12. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You write that down. Read that every day. Think on this every day, and this is how you have victory. You know, the Bible says, 1 John 5, our faith is victory. We read last night, the one faith, in the first six verses there of Ephesians 4. God gives us everything that we need, and He urges us, walk with Him. He loves us. We should love Him. We've got so many reasons why we should be motivated to just listen to God and then obey God. But the flesh is going to fight you on that. The flesh is going to fight you. You know, you're worried about Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air, okay? But that's all he is. He's not the king of anything. He's the prince of the power of the air. This is where he is. He can't make you do anything, but he can lie to you. And just like he did to Eve, just suggest something. And then if you don't counsel with God, if you don't question and say, God, what's going on here, and listen to God, then what you will do is lust the eyes, lust the flesh, and the pride of life. That's it. That's what you're up against. And it's a battle. But we're talking about walking with God. And how? Well, you got to start out by being a new man. New creature. Be born again. And that we might be His. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And that word nature isn't to be given as, well, you're born a sinner and you always stay a sinner. No. That word nature comes from a word that means custom or practice. See, God's smarter than we are. We look at words and say, oh, there it is. It's just my nature. And that is the nature of the flesh. The nature of the flesh is not to pay attention to God. The custom and the practice of the flesh is not to pay attention to God. This is why Paul said he fought the good fight of faith every day. That's why we need to pray to God. That's why we need to talk to Him. That's why we need to counsel with Him. That's why we need to take in the knowledge that's in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that. Big campaign a few years ago, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what He did. Father, Your will be done. Father, my whole existence is do Your will. That we need to come to realization of that. Why was I born? What am I supposed to do while I'm here? And then where am I going to go when I die? The library is filled with books that have been written thousands of years, time and time again, trying to answer those three questions when God gives it right here. Why was I born? So I can put my name on a street? So I can build a big building and put my name on it? So I can be known in the whole world? Why was I born? Only God has the wisdom to figure that one out. And what am I supposed to do while I'm here? Fulfill all the lusts of the eyes and lusts of the flesh and the pride of life, and the world be my oyster. See, that's what the world, that's what the flesh does, and the world is your oyster. You can do anything in this world. I don't care where you live, who you are. If you can communicate, you can rule the world. That's what Adolf Hitler did. A little guy, couldn't make it, corporal in the German army. He promised everybody a potato, and he gave them a potato, and nobody said, where did that potato come from? They didn't care. They were hungry. They wanted to fulfill, put something in their stomach, and he provided that for them. Bingo! Rule the world. The prince of the power of the air. What did he promise Jesus? Just follow me, and you can have all this that's been given to me. The oyster. The world is your oyster. But you got to crucify that passion. You got to put that away. Because that's not what the answer is. Because it's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to go away. To understand, we as Christians once conducted ourselves in the ways of the world. And to understand, that's not going to get us to heaven. That's not going to get us in a relationship with God. And it won't keep us in a relationship with God. It'll take us away from God. And we urge people, walk with God. Be a new creature. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. And looking at those things that are revealed to us. There's so many things that are said in the Bible. And that we may be what God wants us to be. And Timothy was told that there would be people speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You can see, never let your conscience be a guide. And you know what conscience is, don't you? It's inner knowledge. Taken from two words, con, science, Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, but that's what I read in the book somewhere. Inner knowledge. Don't let your conscience be a guide unless your inner knowledge is God's Word. Don't sear your conscience up. In other words, don't lock the vault up. I know what I know. I'm never going to change that. I want you to believe what you believe right now. Believe it with all your heart, but if there's enough evidence to presented that changes that belief, then we better change. Okay? We can't just lock it up. We can't sear the conscience. Say, this is it. I'm not going to let this escape. And truly, if we were that way about God's Word, I want it written on my heart. I want it in here. I don't want it to escape. And the thing is, it won't float out of there if you want to keep it in there. You don't even have to do anything because God will do it. Let Him work His will in you. That's what Philippians 2 says. Let God do what He wants to do with you. Learn what Jesus Christ learned by listening to the Father. Verses 20 through 24. Paul reminds the Ephesians they didn't learn Christ a certain way, especially the way that he had been talking about in the futility of their mind and so forth. He says, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He gets pretty deep, pretty solid there, basic there. Righteousness and holiness. Be holy because I am holy. That's what God says. God doesn't want us to be anything that He's not. And that we might walk with Him, that we might be His. Put off that former conduct. Put on that new man. The whole chapter 6 of Romans. I'll go through some of these scriptures pretty quick, but read this. Think on it. Because, see, meditate on it. I remember in the 60s, you know, there was a 16-year-old guru come from India. He owned about 16 Mercedes-Benz, and he filled up the Houston Dome. It no longer exists, but he filled this thing up with people that wanted to, they quit their jobs and everything to go out there to Texas to sit at the feet of this 16-year-old because he had the wisdom. He had the answers to life. Why you were born, what you're going to do while you're here. And what you did while you was here is quit your job, give all the money you had to him. But anyway, so that you could, you know, have a relationship with God when you die. You know? Nothing about having it right now, you know, but, you know, when it's all said and done, you'll get there. And people just swallow that hook, line, and sinker. And they're, you know, sometimes we just give God away for a lot less than that. But Romans 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Now these are people that were baptized into Christ. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2, he said to the Ephesians that they were saved by grace. And remember in Acts 19, these are the same people that had obeyed baptism in the name of Christ. And in the Ephesian letter, he says, don't continue in sin. See, the thing about reading the Bible is, about everywhere you read in the Bible, it's going to say pretty much the same thing. Wherever you read, it'll give you the same plan. It'll tell you and urge you and warn you, the same warnings and everything. Every letter that was ever written to different churches, to different, and when I say different churches, I'm talking about the locality of the church. The called out group of people that are in Rome, that are in Corinth, that are in Ephesus. They all spoke the same thing, had the same mind and the same judgment. Why? Because they were following the one faith, the one God, the one Spirit. They were in the one body that we read about last night. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Are you dead to sin? Are you dead to it? We need to be dead to it. Don't let it resurrect in you. In verses 3 through 10, Romans 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, you're not strong enough to do all this yourself. This is why God does what He does. If we surrender to Him, if we say, take me, I'm yours, do whatever you want to with me, and then listen to Him and serve Him. He's got the power to do that. Jesus Christ, it says, in verses 3 and 4 of Romans 1, says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. See, if you can't even believe and trust and have confidence in the fact that Jesus Christ was literally raised from the dead, that's the whole basis of everything we're doing. Or to even walk with God. that God had the power to do that. And then he says that and gives us this example about being buried in Christ, putting death to the old man, and be resurrected. What? To be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That same power that did that with Jesus is the same power when we come up out of the watery grave of baptism. If we want to hang on to it and have it, he says he provides for it. Romans says that we'll be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. God will supply everything you need. He will give you more abundantly than you can even think of. Do you believe that? No, we have a tendency to look and see what we have in our hands or, you know, what kind of look in the mirror and see if we're up to it. And I want to tell you, if you dwell on that, I mean, you have to fight every day because the flesh will beat you down. The flesh will try to keep you from being a person that walks with God. And you can't just do it in your mind. You know, the Gnostics said, oh, I'm like a gold piece. You can drop me in the mud. A gold piece, you see, it's covered in mud. But inside it's gold. We're not like that. But people think that that's what it's all about. I'm a human. I'm gold on the inside. I know He saved me. I know this. It doesn't matter what the flesh is going to do because it's going to do what it wants to do. And I can't help it. It's the nature of it. I'll just let it, you know. And God says, hey, walk with God. God will give you the power and the strength to overcome if you want. If you want to. Flesh is strong, though, because it'll try to convince you that there, you know, that it's all up to you. It's not up to you. It's up to whether you want to be a new creature. God's servant. That's what he gets to in this. That this new life. And that we walk in newness of life. Verse 5 of Romans 6. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. It's important to understand that. The life that you're living, is it the same as Christ's life? Live to God. Live for God. Now look at verses 11 through 13. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, and whenever you see therefore, all that we read before this was there for this. Okay, so you think about it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Now get this. A lot of people, I think, skirt over this scripture, and they think they compartmentalize this sin here. And then me here, you know, I'm not going to let sin do this. Here's the thing, see? It's not the sin doing it. He said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Don't obey the body. Sin is what? Transgression of God's law. Don't let sin be the king. Don't let thinking on the flesh. Don't let the carnal mind. Don't let that kind of standard be what you're focused on. Because what's going to happen is you'll obey the body. And the body does what? Lusts the eyes, lusts the flesh, the pride of life. That's what you're up against. Three times more than the one God, who really is more powerful than all three of those things. It's important to understand what God is doing for us and how He says it can happen. Don't obey the body in its lusts. Sin don't lust, but your body does. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And then finish out that chapter and you find out one thing. You save yourself from this wicked world. You become a child of God. You be a born-again Christian. And you have the inheritance that's given to Christ, the glory that we may have. Christ cannot deny Himself. But He says all of that and sums it up, and He already touched on it here about being slaves to sin. You were. Now who are you a slave to? God. You have to be a slave to God. Oh, but I'm His child. Yes, you are. But you're a slave of righteousness. You're a child. You are a son. You are His. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's important for us to understand all these things. Don't obey your body. Verses 25 through 32 in Ephesians 4 concerning don't give place to the devil. It's important to not give place to the devil. And that's what all these words have been talking about. And that we might understand that. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, there's so much in the Bible about what we need to do, but here's the thinking on all this. Whatever you want from God, He wants you to do that right now. See, you want life with God? You got to put to death the old man and become that new man. You want forgiveness of sins? What does He say? We'll forgive those that sin against you. Yikes! You know, it's a lot easier to be baptized for the remission of your sins than it is to forgive somebody. I'm going to take that. But yet God says we need to do that. We need to understand about love. We need to understand every time He tells us to obey His commands, He says with love for one another. You cannot escape that. They are connected. Everything is connected to God. Everything. You can't compartmentalize it and say, I'll get all this love going, you know, and forget about just being kind. You know, I'll get that doctrine down right, but, you know, I'll work on this other stuff later. Remember, I read Revelation 2 about this, the same church here, this called out group of people at Ephesus. They knew, they could spot false apostles. They knew false teachers. They had the doctrine down, but He said, you left your first love. And He said, unless you get that corrected, you're in trouble. That's why Jesus said you can do all things that I have commanded you to do and still be an unprofitable servant. See, God's looking at motives. He's looking at what we're thinking. Don't give place to the devil. And see, the devil's not all of it. He's just,
he's the prince of the power of the air. He doesn't care about you, you know, if he can slip in a lie on you and get you caught off guard, that's all he's working for. He doesn't have to do a lot if we allow the flesh to do what it wants to do. It just deceives us into thinking that, well, I can't help it. It's okay. God loves me too much. But we need to understand. The world is under the sway of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5. The world is under the sway of the evil one. This is why Jesus said, the truth will sanctify you, separate you from the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Don't let Satan have any place in you. Don't let the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life have any guidance for you. Walk with God. Be this new creature. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Renew your mind daily. Transforming yourself. Don't be conformed to this world, but to God. 1 John 3, 9 and 10, practice righteousness. Keep on keeping on in the righteousness of God. It's very important. That's what it's about. What is your nature? Don't be of the flesh. Be of Christ. Be of righteousness. Romans 1, 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In verse 17 it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. Now he quoted an Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk, when he said that. We read last night, Ephesians 4, there's one faith. Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Got to practice the one faith. Trust and have confidence in God. He is righteous. He is the one. Look to Him always. And you can be acceptable. Peter said in Acts 10, around 35 I think, he said that in every nation, he who works righteousness is accepted by God. And that's what we urge people to do. Obey the gospel. Surrender yourself to God. That's what repentance is. Thy will be done, Father, not my will. That's what it, do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus Christ shed His blood for your sins? That He is the way, the truth, and the life? That you can't come to God unless it's through Him? That you can be baptized into Jesus Christ? He commanded Cornelius, and Peter said, I command you to be baptized. For what? To be born again. Rise up as a new creature, henceforth not to serve sin. Walk with God. Be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Be a soldier for Christ. Walk with Him. We'll be talking about that later on. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come while we stand and sing for this.